So I used to have a class in between our class. Now I'm coming straight in. So if I come in a little while every now and then, just bear with me. And we'll make it work for what it is. John chapter 5, verse 39. And one of the things I learned from my apostle, we were talking about this the other day, that you can have a lot of parables and learn about a lot of parables and learn a lot of scriptures, but not know the mystery. All right? The mystery is the thing that's going to take you above the rest. You get me? The mystery is the thing that's going to make you extraordinary like Christ. If you really go back and read Christ, because of so much hindsight, because we've been in church for so long, because we've religiousized and traditionalized the word of God so much, we become commonplace with who Jesus is. And if you be honest with yourself, you have. I prove to you become commonplace. If you can go days without going to read about him and really looking into him, you become common with him. He's just a normal guy to you that just died on the cross and shed some blood. And now we're going to heaven. The man was and is a phenom. He is the goal of what we all should be on this earth in human form. The things that he said and the ways that he functioned without your Bible is amazing. He didn't have Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and all these different things that we refer to. He didn't have 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He didn't have Peter and Revelation. He didn't even have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talking about him. He didn't have these things. But yet he spoke in a way that was all God. Right? So we take him normal and we miss the mystery, which in turn means we miss ourselves. In actuality, you are the mystery. Say, I am. Come on, say it again. I am. Come on, say it again. I am the mystery. You can never walk in a principle without the personality. A principle always is connected to a person, right? Any principle that you want to walk into has to be connected to you as a person. You have to live this thing. Belief means be living it. You be life. That's belief. You be living this thing. If you're not decided to live it, we try to send the word out and say these things, but we don't jump off the cliff with the word. And so we never get flight. We never get results. We never get the things. I am, say, I am the mystery. So you're the mystery that he's been talking about. You get it? But we miss those things because we don't search the scriptures. John 5:39, read it. It starts off, it says what? Search the scriptures, right? Right? For in them you think you have eternal life, right? Right? And what it says after that? What are they doing? What are they doing? Testifying of who? You see it's in red, right? So Jesus said you need to search them scriptures, right? Because in them you think you have eternal life, right? But and they are they which testify of me. But you won't come, look at what it say next. And you will not come where? You won't come to me that what? So you're searching the scripture, but you don't come all the way to the mystery. If you go look at Jesus and read his miracles and read the things that he did and how he functioned, it was never the same way. It was never the same thing. It was always a one-up. When Jesus came and got baptized, I was talking about this in my last day, they thought Jesus was coming to purge the floor with them. John said, he coming to purge the floor with you heathens. He going to get y'all right. Slap y'all up. Y'all been living all wrong. I told you he was coming. And then Jesus come out as meek and he said, well, they slap you. Turn the cheek. John said, hold up, that ain't what we... Hold up, this ain't our message. This ain't what we've been preaching at John Church, John First Baptist Church. This ain't what we've been teaching. And Jesus said, go a mile with them, go two. That ain't what we're teaching. Slap somebody, Jesus. It's time to choke somebody, Father. He said, they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. He was always a one-up. He was always one-upping whatever you thought was the norm. Jesus said, You know, Jesus didn't come up with nothing new in Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know what I mean? He didn't come up with nothing new with that. That was over in Isaiah. He was just reading what they had in their scroll, in their book already. But then he went up and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Like you looking at it right now. And closed the book and sat down. Then the Bible said, all the eyes, you're living by the book now. Can we live by the book a little bit? So you got to read, you got to read your scripture like that. Don't read your scripture religiously. I found out that we read our scriptures religiously. And so because we do that, we're going in there and looking for concepts and ways to live so much that we don't get the being of what's going on. Are y'all seeing me? We've been reading it for so long that we become commonplace with it. But if you slow down with it and understand what's really going on, and understand the movement on Jesus, and they said the eyes were fastened on him. Couldn't nobody look nowhere else because ain't nobody come up in church. Ain't nobody ever come up in church and read our book and they say, I'm what you've been looking for. The audacity of this man. Then the other time Jesus started speaking, he said, we ain't never heard a man speak with such authority. That's what Jesus said. What's the greatest commandment in the law? Y'all know? They come ask, what's the greatest commandment in the law? What, y'all know it? Lord, you got a heart. Yeah, Jesus didn't come up with that. That was over Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 said the same thing in the same order. There's love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. But what Deuteronomy did say is the second point he said. And the second one just like that. You love your, just like you love your, that one went in the book. That one in the book till he said it. That one in the book until the book said it. Did y'all hear what I said? That one in the book until the book said it. That's another thing. You too. When reading the Bible, and I'm real quick, when reading the Bible, you got to remember that the Bible was written thousands of years before you. There's no cars in the Bible. Cars, skyscrapers, right? You don't see AIDS in there, cancer, huh? You don't see diabetes. You don't see none of that in there. Or you see a sick of the palsy and leprosy, a little leprosy, and a couple blind people, right? But you ain't really know what to call it back then, right? And it's written thousands of thousands. So sometimes you try to operate in exactly what they were saying and miss the mystery. See, the mystery don't change. The mystery is all the way through. Are y'all getting me? And so if you don't dig enough, and there's levels to it, good, acceptable, perfect. You know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Yeah, there's levels to the perfection, to the wholeness. 34, 64, and 104, you ever heard about that in the Bible? Yeah, that's really telling you levels to everything. It's levels of you until you give everything. Until I got 100% of you in your mindset and your concept. I said in my class, last class we do Church Unusual, and what people don't understand is that church, right, is really, it's not a building, it's a concept. It's an understanding, it's a belief system. See, we miss Jesus that way. We miss his whole way of understanding because we don't, John 5:39 says what? Search. Search. Now, what does it mean to search something? That doesn't mean to read it. Well, reading is a part of it, right? Right? But then what does it mean to search it? Come on. You ever search for anything? Come on, tell me something you searched for before. Go just regular. Something you searched for. Your keys. Your wallet, right? Right? Like you're searching for it, right? So when you're searching for it, sometimes you got to flip some stuff over. Right? Sometimes some furniture got to move. Pick the furniture, move the sofa, take the sofa seats out, right? Come on. When I'm searching for something, you can just, well, I ain't got the keys. You searching for what? Keys. Keys. Jesus is another scripture that I give you the keys. Right? We're searching for them. You got to. I ain't going to open your bag. What is it? Right? You got to. I leave it in here. When you start digging, when you search the scriptures, how often do you search the scriptures? See, we skim. We're good at skimming. We're good at skimming. We're good at outlining. We're good at reading daily devotional. I didn't ask you about your daily devotional. Jesus told me I'm no daily devotional. God bless your daily devotional, though. People get mad at you when you start attacking stuff and they hold so dear to their heart. Amen. God bless your one-year Bible. All right. God bless it. God ain't, Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus saying, be. Search scriptures. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to search some scriptures, but don't just stop right there with them thinking that that's where your eternal life is because they're really testifying to me. I am your eternal life. right? But you won't come all the way to me. And I'm prone to believe that the reason you don't get all the way there is because you don't search. See, a mystery is something that's undercover. The mystery ain't on top of the ground. The mystery of the treasures ain't on top of the ground because it wouldn't be much of a treasure. It ain't just sitting out there in plain sight. It's something that's been hidden. If it's sitting out in plain sight, anybody can get it, including your enemy. Including the one that's against you can get it if it was hidden in plain sight. One of the reasons, remember Jesus get baptized. Sky opens, says, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, right? Then he goes on, then he preached a message, then he said he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's the number one thing, was trying to see, can you keep the mystery? He testing his secret keeping ability. You never looked at it that way, did you? He's testing him to see if you can keep the mystery. He said, if you be the son of, you be the son of God, he started asking stuff like that. And Jesus already know who he is. He already told, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I already got my dove. Right? If you be the son of God, he said, I ain't got to do this for you to prove to you that I'm the son of God. Matter of fact, I'm going to keep you on your toes. If you knew who I was, you'd be trying to kill me right now. The Bible said that if he knew. The Bible said the enemy knew. He'd never let him, he'd never let him crucify him. It's a mystery. Ain't it a mystery? Think about it. We don't see God. Come on, y'all. Come on. Wake up. Can we wake up a minute? Why is it? We don't see how much of a mystery this thing is. It's a mystery how this happened. To die, to live, don't make no sense. I know it don't make no sense because you ain't trying to die for nothing. We all try fighting to live. Huh? It's crazy that you're going to send this man down here to a baby mama. Well, people don't like me when I talk like that, but I don't care. Because the truth, this girl, a little bit out of her teenage years, and ain't got no husband to show her pregnant. Y'all know what y'all going to do. You know. Word of Life, World Shakers, name another church. You know what we going to do. That's a boy, that's a shame. Now, we're going to read some scriptures and have some compassion and be like, well, it's a blessing, baby. But I don't know, it's going to be a little while. The boy going to be about 6-7 years old before we. Jesus got to be 6-7 years old. It might have been when he was in the temple that time, 11, and somebody had to come get him or whatever, he was 12. That might be the only time they had some compassion on him because he was talking right. Y'all know what we're going to do. Y'all know it. It's a mystery. Come send this. They say Nazareth was the hood. I learned about Nazareth in Western civilization when I was at LSU. Nazareth was the hotbed of zealots. It was the one where ISIS at. You know we're talking about ISIS right now. All the ones that want to fight all the time and blow it. That's where he was born at. He was born amongst the crazy men. Ain't that Mary's son? Wasn't he born in Nazareth? Just trying to downplay him for a minute. Like, we can't listen to what this man's saying. He's from the hood. The mystery. That's it. We're living by the book right now. I just want y'all to know. Huh? Y'all know we're living by the book, right? You know, the goal is to actually live as the book. That's the goal. But you got to live by it before you can live as it. You get it? It's a mystery. That you're going to send this boy here to an unwed couple. His daddy going to die when he's young. Because you never hear anything about Joseph being with him or later on. He died with his young man, so now he's fatherless. You know what they say about the society right now? Ain't got no father in the house. We don't know how much they're going to make it. Then he come. And then when he comes, he starts talking crazy. He know the scrolls. He know the scrolls and the scriptures. He know all of them. He start quoting them with them. But then he one up. He says, cool, so if you love the Lord God all your heart, your mind, your soul, you can love your neighbor just like yourself, can't you? You can do that, can't you? Then they get sad at that because it caused them to take themselves off a pedestal. It's a mystery. This man goes, it's a mystery, you spitting dirt. Putting a man out and tell a blind man to go walk and wash. You told a blind man to go find a pool. No, you told a blind man It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But the mystery always manifests. It's a mystery that we all, it's still a mystery that God loves me. I'm talking for me right now. You can say what you want. You might have think you deserved it. And that's okay. However you feel. I know. I'm probably riding the car and I had a couple of my friends. I said, boy, God love me, boy. I said, God love me, boy, because I don't know how lovable I've been. Right? Like, I don't know. Right? Like, I don't know what caliber of level of love I deserve. He give it all to me. Right? It's a mystery. It's a mystery that, what kind of love is it a man will lay down his life for a friend? It's a mystery. Grace is a mystery. Mercy is a mystery. Giving you things that you don't deserve and not giving you what you do deserve is a mystery. And the mystery is you. There's something about you that God knows, that he put in you, that he made you as. There's something about you, but you just don't know. Because one, you don't search. We don't search. And then two, even if we do search, we don't search long enough to go all the way to him. Because you realize when you get to him, you get to you. You remember the scripture, and I got this in my last case. You remember the scripture? And he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Are you a son of man? I can't hear y'all. Are you a son of man? All y'all come from a man, huh? Huh? Son of man, right? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's really trying to tell you who you are. He's really asking you who you are. And when you find out who he is, you find out who you are. But the phrasing of it, you read through that whole thing, just take your time and read it. And you see what Jesus is really trying to get to. He's trying to show you who you are. He's trying to show you that you're that mystery. But you search the scriptures. You search them scriptures and you search them. And you get down in those scriptures and you search them. You start flipping stuff over. You start connecting other scriptures to other scriptures. Don't be biblically selective to try to find out the thing you need to deal with at the immediate time because you got an emergency. There is no emergency in the spirit. Heard apostles tell me that. There's no emergency in the spirit. The only time there's an emergency in the spirit when you haven't emerged as your true self already. See? When you haven't emerged as your true self already, then something can become an emergency. You get it? If your true self, the Christ nature in you, is already standing up, there is no emergency. They come running and say, Jesus, he dead. He dead. Up, be not afraid. Only believe. He get there and put everybody out. She ain't doing nothing but sleeping. Are y'all understanding me? There's no panic in Christ. But the only way there's no panic is when the true you emerges. When you live not only by the book, but as the book. The reason that you can say so many scriptures and not get what the scriptures say, amen. Y'all hear what I said? The reason that you can say so many scriptures but not get what the scripture says, have that ever happened to you? Answer me. Yep. Because you're disconnected. You're trying to operate in something that you want to operate in you. You get it? So my last class, you know, you want to throw the word off the cliff and make it fly, but you don't want to jump off with it. You want to make the word go do something. No, you the word. You know, he's talking about my words not returning. He's talking about you. The day you were born, my word was sent forth. That's what God says. Remember he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness? Huh? He ain't changed his mind. He didn't change, just because you came thousands of years later, or however long later, don't mean he changed his mind about you in the image. And what you were supposed to do, have dominion. He didn't change his mind. But somewhere along the line is lost in translation and we lose our connection to the word. As us, we lose our connection with the Father. We lose our connection with Jesus and Christ as us. And we lose it. So now we begin to throw around scriptures on the wall. We plastering things on the wall. We throwing around a bunch of words and we throwing a bunch of prayers and we doing a bunch of stuff with no avail. Come on, can we be honest about it? Huh? As much as you pray, it should be more happening. Amen. And come on. Well, come on, y'all on up to it. As much as How many intercessory prayers you been to? Come on. Your daily devotional. How many years you done read it? Come on. Yeah. Proverbs. How many times you read Proverbs 1 to 31 for the 30 days in the month? How many times you done said the Lord's Prayer? Was the Lord never called it the Lord's Prayer? He just said, pray like this. But we always got to put a label on something. How many times you done read the Ephesians Prayer? Both of them. How many times you done all those different things and you ain't got nothing? Y'all ain't tired? Ain't nobody gonna own up to it. Y'all not tired of like, I'll be looking at Jesus, I'll be like, come on, man, let's get up, man. Come on, bro. When I start reading about Jesus, I'm like, all right, bro, listen. I talk to myself, all right, bro, listen. Something wrong. There's something you ain't doing. Because the way he doing it ain't how you doing it. So we got to do something. So I'm not comfortable. We get to skipping across the word and we get comfortable. That's what the enemy likes. He loved the way y'all go to church. He loved it. Yeah, he opened the door for you. Come on in. Come on in the church, sit down. I love it how you do church. I love it how you do your religion. Look, y'all, oh, look at your cute little Christians. Christ ain't never called us Christians. Don't nobody shoot me. Never did it. Right? But y'all cute, you look at your cute little Christianity. Look at how y'all, look at y'all greeting each other and stuff. I love that. Keep on doing it. Do it for 20 more years. Do it for 30 more years. Just keep doing it that same way. Don't ever do nothing. Don't ever be nothing. Just keep doing that. Right? And there's nothing wrong with greeting each other at church. Don't come on church and mugging people. Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with that, but what I'm saying is we begin to build on those things. And we don't build on the rock, which is the revelation of the mystery of Christ, which is really in you. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? So he cool with it. I'm tired of reading my Bible and not being it. Y'all don't get jealous when y'all read the Bible? Huh? Y'all don't feel no kind of way like, man, I wish that was me. Like y'all don't, come on, you don't, come on, y'all don't, all right, come on, be honest. Y'all don't feel no kind of way like, man, like, I wish I could talk. Right? Like if you really read about Jesus, this is what's gonna happen to you. You ever really reading the gospel and slow down and reading the gospel and really read about Jesus and really not read of him as Pastor Jesus or Reverend Jesus, but read him as Jesus, like a man, Jesus. You ever sit there and read him? Read him. You know what I said? Read him. You ever sit there and pay attention and search the scripture, search the gospel, you ever sit there and read it? You'll sit there and then eventually you have to look around everything around you. You'll be like, what is wrong with us? You'd have to. It'll be an automatic thing. You sit there and be like, what is wrong? What are we doing? Then you'll be like, what is wrong with me? That's the number one answer. That's the number one question right there. What's wrong with me? See, we're scared. We're afraid to be a little different. Right? You know the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by renewing your mind. You thought it was the streets. We don't be conformed to the sinners. No, there's other worlds too. Religion has a world. Kneel down once. Kneel down twice. Sit over here. Step one, step two, step three. Bah, manifestation, then you don't see any. Don't be conformed. Transform. Life is about transformation. You sit there reading level, you're gonna start looking around, you're gonna realize something is wrong with me. I need to get up. I need to come up a little higher. I need to function a little stronger. If I really look at it. So now when I begin to search the scriptures, if I really search right, I begin to find Jesus and I begin to find Christ. What the scripture says right here. I begin to find Christ, which means I find myself. I find me. I find my true identity. Well, you call yourself a Christian, don't you? Don't you? Answer me, Christians. What's the beginning of Christian? You got to find yourself. You got to search to find yourself. Let me see something. I wanted to do a little living by the book. Because I did it last night just in talking, and I didn't even realize what I had come up to. Quick question. Talking about being like Christ. Did you know you can forgive sins? That look y'all gave me just now. Matthew chapter 9. I'm just going to live by the book for a couple minutes here. And some of you may know this story already, but please don't give me your interpretation. Just roll with me for a second. And you're going to have to take your time with the word. How do you get to know? How you get to know somebody? How you get to know somebody? How you get to know somebody or something? Well, anybody ever went to school before? Right, you go to school, you know the information on the test by spending time. We call it studying, right? When you want to get to know somebody, you spend time with them. It's how you get to know what's going on, right? And you need an extensive amount of time to know a person because we always put our good stuff on first. Amen, right? But it'll take a good little while, but you spend the time. You don't rush. You go on a date and you're rushing. You don't rush. You wish you could stay there forever, don't you? Come on, man. You can say it's not laughing. Right? That's real. I wish I could stay here forever. Before y'all got mad, I wish I could stay here forever, man. Right? You don't rush. You don't speed read that. Amen. So when you're scriptures, you have to take your time and listen. Break your approach. Break your concept. What your concept is already, sometimes you got to break it to get the mystery. Because sometimes your built-in concept that you already have, that you think you know already, is the thing that'll be blocking you from what the mystery is that you don't know. I think I'm smart sometimes. I'm talking for myself right now. You can feel how you want to feel. I think I'm smart sometimes. Amen. Y'all too, huh? I ain't the only one in the room. Huh? Yeah, all right, just make sure. I think on small times, I get in and I be like, yeah, I got this one. Look right there. I ain't changed the whole concept. I was reading, it's Matthew chapter 9. Verse 2, and he came into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Talking about Jesus, right? Brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and we're gonna live by the book a little bit. I'm really gonna ask y'all some questions real quick, all right? So I'm gonna read through the story, then we'll go back to the top, and then we'll see what we find out the story. All right, so I want you to observe. Y'all see it? Right, I want you to observe. I want you to pay attention to what you're reading. I want you to pick your points that you, right? I want you to pay attention to what's going on. Now remember now, what is coming? He's coming off. He entered into a ship. Y'all see verse 1? And he passed over and came to where? Too well? All right, so we back in Nazareth. All right, that makes a difference. Huh? You know, because the prophet is not without honor in his own. So y'all put that together, right? Y'all ever heard that before? Now we living by the book. Now we slow down. Just the one scripture. Nobody said nothing. Nobody preached. Nobody said a word, nothing. There's just context right now. But he came back into his. So we know what kind of belief we got here. We know what kind of people we're about to encounter. Come on, you know your hometown people. Yeah, I hit home just now. All right. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to the house. Verse 8, and when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto. You see that last line? They marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto. I know, let's go back to verse 1. So we're in verse 1. Now we're living by the book. This is what we're doing, all right? Living by the book, verse 1. So now he came to pass to the ship and passed over and came into where? So we know where he is, right? So we know where he's at, right? We know the concept of what's going on. Now read verse 2. And I picked something up out of verse 2. And I was going for something else, and I picked up something about verse 2 that I really got a concept of last night. And it really made give me a concept of togetherness and functioning and what your faith is really for and how you and a position of faith that we miss out on. Y'all ready? Verse 2, and behold, what's the next word? Who? They. All right, y'all with me? They made him a man sick of the palsy. So here we are. We live by the book, right? Here we are that they, these four right here, brought him because he was sick. So they brought him. He's sick. They brought him to Jesus. Are y'all seeing it? Y'all ever heard the story before? Yeah. You heard the story before? Yeah. Right. So you have a concept of it already, right? We're gonna break it a little bit. All right. They, I'm just using it for a minute. They brought him to Jesus. Are y'all seeing it? And now watch this. I saw this. Sick of the palsy lying on the bed. And Jesus seeing whose faith? No, the sick man faith. No, the sick man. Oh, who got the problem though? Huh? Who got the problem? The sick man got the problem, right? Or do we all have a problem? That's why we brought the sick man. Because he me and I'm him. All right, come on. Oh, that feel good, don't it? Now you want to go tell about it right now, don't you? Like, we're going to go preach it later on in the car, right? All right, so listen. So, but I didn't even see that one yesterday, but amen. I ain't got no face to save. We get it when we get it. All right? But Jesus, look at it. I want you to look at it. Jesus seeing, so, sit over here. So they brought him over here to Jesus. They carried him over here to Jesus. Now, that's a loaded situation. That's a loaded situation. And then Jesus seeing their faith. So this is what I saw. I saw Jesus seeing their faith, saying to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven thee. All right? So that means this man got a word from Christ because of their faith. But I saw their faith. I saw their faith. So my mind starts talking about, well, what's faith? You know, faith is believing in action. Belief in action. Believing. So he saw their action. Right? So, and I saw, but what, how does faith work? Faith works by what? Come on, y'all know the scripture, faith that worketh by. So faith can't work without. So here we got that these, they loved their friend or whatever it was. They never said they were their friend. Just the sick, right? That they stopped what they was doing to do for him. They stopped whatever their plan was at the time and committed themselves to another. And then because of faith, because of their love, because of their action and belief, this man got his sins forgiven. And you can almost say that they forgave him of his sins. Because he wouldn't have got it unless they. You see, and then Jesus began to read the next scripture. Read the next scripture. We learn by the book. You see it? He says, see the Paul. He says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. No. Let me slow down the son part. S-O-N. You see, what? How big is that S? Oh. That's a big S, huh? You know, we like to use the big S for the spes. But little S, talking about, you know, we always talk about little S mean your spirit, but the big S means the spirit of God, right? No, when it's all, we all connected, right? That's how we like to say it, right? But you see, he says, son, what up? Y'all like, come on, that's what we use. We always talk about the big S and little S, right? So we ain't gonna take it away now, right? So he says, son, he called you a big one. I'll give you another one. You ready? Now we gotta put these scriptures together. We learn by the book, aren't we? I can't hear y'all. We learn by the book, right? Well, there's another scripture. You remember the other story? They said they were mad at Jesus because they said he called himself the Son of God. Then it said, making himself equal with God. So we don't talk like this, and we don't believe in covenant and that type of nature. But when you were a son, then whatever was for the father is for the son. It was equality. Whatever the father had, the son had. Not he had to grow to it, he had it. Are you understanding? So now when somebody refers to somebody as son, he's calling you my equal. You got to read it again. Oh, look, my equal. You just like me, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now he ain't say rise up and walk or nothing yet. What he dealt with first? Oh, your shortcoming, whatever it is. Now forgiven. I'm gonna do it. Did you see the secret of Paul's to confess? Come on, read the scripture. Did you see him? Jesus, forgive me. Did you see that? We live by the book. Changing. Y'all see him? He says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Then here they come. Because we already know where we at. Where are we? Where we at? Hometown. We in Galilee. Right? Nazareth. Nazareth's in Galilee. Yeah, Nazareth's in Galilee. We back hometown. Here they come with their hometown foolishness. Certain scribes said within themselves, and then they said it within themselves. They grumble. You remember how your mom used to get on you and you grumble? You go to the room, but you ain't say it out loud, but you be like, and she be like, what you say? I ain't saying nothing. Remember that, right? Oh, man, bless me. And Jesus, being like our mothers at times, knowing the thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? I bet that scared the mess out of them. Ooh, because it'll do it to me. Anybody ever read your mail before? Amen. For what's easier, to say or to say arise up and walk? That's a good question. Now, you know, when I ask you the question, which one is easier? Huh? Which one is easier? The man's sick to pause. Which one is easier? Which one is easier to get a manifestation on? Woo! See what I'm saying? Which one is easier? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or is it easier to say arise up? Realize when you say arise up and walk, somebody got to get up or use a lie. Now you're proud on the lie. Now you say, well, I can say his sins are forgiven. Can't nobody see sins rise up off you? Right? Now, Jesus wasn't saying either or. He was saying and also. He was saying it's the same principle. The moment that he told him his sins are forgiven me, it was time for the man to rise up and walk. Yes. But that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Y'all see that? The Son of Man, right? Son. Of man, are you a son of man? Mm-hmm. Are you a son of man? Yeah. So he's trying to tell you that Jesus. If we read Jesus and pay attention to what Jesus is saying to us, Jesus is still preaching to us right now. Mm-hmm. He's still giving us identity. And he's saying, you have the power to forgive. Mm-hmm. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he turns and says, a sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. Go home. Get up, take your bed, and go to your house. Right? And he arose and departed to his house. Now, it's because he only did that, take up your bed and walk, because he wanted to prove that I got the right to forgive sins. You get it? I got the right to do that. I got the right to, the Lord told me what compassion was today. Y'all ready for this? I wrote it down. He said, pity with the power to pardon. You get it? Because one thing to have pity. We see people on TV and see stuff happening. We, oh, we feel a little bad. We ain't did nothing. You done seen people in person. Oh, I feel so bad. But because you didn't know who you were, you didn't have the power to pardon. You didn't have the power to pardon them from whatever thing that was going on. I was sitting in church and sitting with the power to pardon. Like you have the power to pardon their sins. Or what are the sins that so easily beset you? You get it? Who sinned? Who sinned? This boy, remember the blind boy? I think he was blind. Say, who sinned? His mother or his father? He said, ain't none, but that the father ain't worried about that right now. But that I show you that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. And he's trying to tell you that there's no separation between, see, the healing and the getting up. The healing and the, you get it? See, What I did was I called you son first. I made you related. Now, a covenant. I showed you covenant. I showed you relation. I showed you love already from jump. I showed you equality. I showed you that got to do something for your understanding. That got to do something for your mindset. That you don't even know me, but you call me son. See, we throw stuff around right now. They didn't throw those words around back then. They weren't throwing stuff around like that, son. Now we got equality, we got relationship, we got love, we got connection, we got something for me. You don't even know me, you call me son. What would that do for some of the people that we come in contact with? If we just treated them as such. Not like heathens or sinners. Then you know you're going to hell. You cut me off right then. If you die today, you're going, I'm it's over now. This man sent me to hell. You sent me to hell before you told me there's a place that for better for me. Son, I call you son first. I give you covenant. I give you love. I give you some understanding. I give you respect. I pick you up. When he called him son, he picked him up from his bed already. And his understanding on the inside. Because he's forgiven. You get it? The man could have got up and walked on his own anyway. He could have got up. He could have got up and walked off. You get it? It was already done. We live by the book. This is good, ain't we? It's living by the book. Huh? We slow down. Nine scriptures. The nine scriptures that we've been through before. Let's go down. How many things let's go through right quick. We've been through. I'm not finished with it because it got so much more stuff in there. But right quick. Just right. Let's go down the line. What did we see in this that we didn't see in this before we saw this? Come on, go. What did we see that was new tonight? Because we live by the book together. What we saw that we didn't see before in this? Love, covenant, equality, huh? Man forgiveness. Man can forgive sins. Son, he saw the faith of them, right? Do y'all see what's happening? You realize that's the epitome of intercession? It's beautiful. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be picking my brother up and putting my faith on the line for my brother. And I want somebody to pick me up and take me. If we were that time, I wish y'all pick me up. Then how many people Jesus passed by and nobody wanted to pick him up? That man said the pool of Siloam, where the angel come down. He said, every time, but I ain't got no man to put me in. Man, listen to that. So I mean, you be talking about people passing by every day. People going, watch this. This is what I'm trying to tell you. And the whole people, I know God. Because I know God because Jesus healed the man without him having to go. When the angel stirred the water. But that's God's plan the whole time, but Jesus had to manifest it. He had to manifest the will of God right there in front of him. And God was just doing it for them with the angel because they needed a sign and a fleece. You just put the fleece out. We don't talk about the fleece much. You just put a fleece out. Well, Lord, if that's you, let it be wet. Let the lamb wool be wet. If that's really you in the morning, let it be wet in the morning. Let it be dry. Y'all remember the fleece. I ain't got time to go there. We're gonna talk about the fleece another time. But we just were so caught up with that. That we didn't realize how all is all according to your faith. So he ain't had no man. He ain't had no man to put him in the pool. So the man came to him and got him up. And Jesus always said something. He said, he always He never said, he never was like, you're welcome. I did it for you. He never. Your faith made you whole. Then I realized now that they can come. Who you didn't let go? I was faithful. Who gave you a right to do it? Who is that you won't pick up and carry them to Jesus? Right? And I don't know what that means. I don't mean carry them to church. I don't know what that means in your situation, but pick them up. Put that burden off. Stop doing what you're doing and do what they need. Love your neighbor as you. Listen to this. Slow down. Jesus saw their faith and forgave him. If we had some more of that going on, we had some stuff rocking in the world today, boy. Oh, we'd be popping. If we were really doing that, we'd have it popping. But we don't have the concept. We didn't slow down and take this quick enough. We didn't slow down. We knew this story. Huh, y'all? We knew it. We knew it. You ain't know it. I ain't know it. I went looking for another scripture. I went looking for my little biblically selected part that sins can be forgiven by man, and found all that just because I slowed down. How much more are we missing? Now, if you do this right, you're gonna have one. I don't even call it a problem. It's gonna be a good problem. You ready? If you do this right, you ain't gonna want to put it down. Cause right now, you're gonna go look at this. I really miss all that. I know, you know, cause we knew it already. Like, you know the things that you think you know. Like, I know this already. Like, I knew this already. You know what I'm saying? And we don't be biggity about it. It's not that we be biggity like, yeah, I know the whole Bible now, so they can't tell me nothing about it. It's not like that, but it's like, I thought I really had a grip on that one. You got to repeat it, right? Then you find the mystery. Now, you don't know, but you found out something about yourself. You found out something about what your faith is for. Huh? Your faith ain't just for what you think faith is for. Just for the things you want. Because faith works by. How can we operate in love? Love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul. And second, it's a great commandment. And then love your neighbor like you love yourself. So I've got to be willing to do for my neighbor. If I bring myself to Jesus, I got to be willing to drag my neighbor. And at the same time, same way, the same time. You know, sometimes we'll do for ourselves and then we'll do something for our neighbor, but it's not quite. Do what you should, but you pat yourself on the back because I did something for them. No, when you spend $1,000 on yourself, spend $1,000 on somebody else. Now this is concept. I'm not saying go do that. I'm not giving you a word. So don't tell me my trail went told me to go spend. No, my trail didn't tell you nothing. But I'm getting some understanding. I buy food for myself. I make sure I buy something for somebody else. Junior class or whatever. Don't buy them a junior because then I bought me a biggie size. You got a junior. Y'all get what I'm saying? It changes your concept of what's going on. It'll increase your faith. It'll increase your concept of what your faith is about. I mean, scripture that is. It'll change my whole concept about everything. In a quick couple seconds. And that's just 9 scriptures out of the whole 4 Gospels. 8 scriptures. 1-8 out of the whole 4 Gospels. Yeah, we go. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. For me too. I ain't know none of that. Me too. We're gonna do that again. The best way to learn how to do something is to do it. Y'all get it? Like, the best way to learn how to do something is get no, don't talk about how to dribble. Let's go dribble. You get it? So we'll do it.